Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 13 lines from the top of Daf Samach Zayin. We open with a quote from our previous shiur, which we will rely upon each one of you to have been familiar with from listening to the previous shiur, and not elaborate on this opening quote. The Gemara says, Gufa Omar Shmuel, Omar Rebbe, Halocha Krebiosi, Diomar Mili Lo Mimsern Lishliach. Rebbe is featured here as paskening, as ruling like Krebiosi, regarding the principle of mili lo mimsaram l'shaliach, which we spent a lot of time explaining in our previous shiur. Arma lefonov Reb Shimon Barebi, the son of Rebbe, asks his father, Me achashe Rebbe Meir v'chanino ish oinoi cholkin al Rebbe Yosi. We saw in our previous Mishnah that Rebbe Meir and Chanina, who reported the tradition that he received from Rebbe Akiva, which hold that mili mimsram l'shaliach, ma ro'a Rebbe lomar haloch k'Rebbe Yosi. What motivated Rebbe to rule like what would seem to be the minority opinion? Omar lo, so Rebbe said to his son, shtok b'ni shtok, silence my son, lo ro'iso es Rebbe Yosi. You did not see Rebbe Yosi. Il mole ro'iso, if you had seen him, nimuko imo, you would realize that his rulings are accompanied by deep explanations. He gives reasons for his rulings that run, run far and deep. And hence, one can rely on Rebbe Yosi's ruling, even if it's against the opinion of others. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, and on the side of our Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Rishima Shel Tanoim. We have a list of great Tanoim, Vidarkom Belimud HaTorah, and their style of Torah study. In this source, you'll see Rebbe Yosi Nimuko Imo is featured. Isi Ben Yehuda Hoyomoyne Shvachon Shel Chomim. Isi used to count or list off the different attributes of the various sages. And as we go through the list, we will also look from time to time at Rashi to explain what's meant by some of these analogies. So, Rebbe Meir, Chocham V'Sof. Rebbe Meir is described as wise and also a scribe. It's maybe worth pointing out the Gemara in Erevin, if I'm not mistaken, Daf Yud Gimel, where you see a very interesting description of Rebbe Meir and his greatness. For our purposes, though, we'll simply note that he is described here as wise and also a scribe. His being a scribe is a matter of attention that one finds in a few Gemaras in the Shas. The next, Rebbe Yehuda Chacham Lichshirtze. He's wise when he wants to be. That's a literal translation. The Rashi says, Chocham Shirtze, Kshoya Roitze Lios Mosun, Messiashi Bidvar Hoya Chocham. When he wanted to be, we'll say, thoughtful and deliberating. Mosun means to take things slowly, take things easy, take it slow, not to rush to conclusions. When he would approach matters in that fashion, so he demonstrated his wisdom. Tosfos says, Chocham l'chshirtze, yoser mi Rebbe Meir, even greater than Rebbe Meir, v'dilma Rebbe Meir chorav u'makshe, Tosfos suggests maybe Rabbi Meir is one who was very sharp and asked questions. Rabbi Yehuda Mosun Umasik. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, didn't demonstrate sharpness and quick-witted questioning, but rather was deliberating and came to conclusions. And if you had to compare these two attributes, so v'chihai gavna amrina b'sof horis, similarly we find at the end of Maseches Horis, dealing with different amoroyim, and mosun umasik is considered a very praiseworthy attribute. Personally, I heard another explanation that I don't see here in Rashi nor the Tosfos, but Rabbi Yehuda lo chacham lichshirtze was actually a demonstration of his incredible self-control. There is a law that when one is in places of filth, one should not be engaged in Torah thought. And maybe many of you are familiar with the phenomenon of great Torah scholars that wherever they are, at all times, their life is Torah, every breath is Torah, and they're always thinking about Torah topics. What happens to people like that when they find themselves in places, in the facilities, when they have to relieve themselves? It's actually very difficult to divert one's thinking to mundane, non-Torah topics. And that's a point of a stumbling for many great Torah personalities. Rabbi Yehuda's greatness was that he had so much self-control that he was a chacham when he wanted to be, and the converse also, and he was able to be a non-chacham, meaning not preoccupied with Torah thoughts, when that was necessary. Continuing in our text, Rabbi Tarfon, Gal Shel Agoizim. Rabbi Tarfon is described as a heap of nuts. What is the nature of a heap of nuts? So we look in the Rashi, a few lines down from here. Gal Shel Agoizim, the first Bavist Rabbi Nosson, in that work, called, it's a work that parallels Pirkei Avos, the Avos de Rabbi Nosson, Ma Gal Shel Egoizim Adam Noitel Achas Mehen Vehinik Botzois V'Noifle Zu Alzu. If you can imagine a heap of nuts, if you remove one, so they, an avalanche of nuts starts to fall, one, they all roll one after the other. That's Vehen Nikbosos Venoflos Zu Alzu Kulan. One after the other, all of them, scatter. Kach Rabbi Tarfon, Bo Talmud V'Sholo Dovor, Hoyomevi Lo Raya, Mikro, Midrash, Mishnah, Halocha, V'Agoda HaKol Yachad. When someone would come to ask Rabbi Tarfon a question, he would respond with proofs to whatever the issue was from the scriptures, from Midrashic literature, from Mishnayos, from halacha, could be from oral traditions, from agoda, everything together. It all came flowing forth. That's how Rabbi Tarfon would conduct himself. Rabbi Yishmael, we continue in our text, Chanus Miyuzenis. Rashi says, Chanus Miyuzenis, Yeina Muchan. Chanus is a store. Miyuzenis, Rashi takes to mean a store with its products ready to be served, ready to be sold, ready to be offered to the public. That's Yena Muchon Ba Tamid. Shein Hachenvoni Tzorch Loma Leloichen Hemtinu Vavilochem. The store owner, in a case of a Chanus Miyuzenis, would never have to tell his customers, hey, wait until I fetch it for you. Kach Nitzrochorim Lumoid Mipiv Mizuman Lo V'Talmuda Oruch V'Fiv. So too was with regard to Rabbi Shmuel. Anyone who came to him with a question, he had an immediate response. He was ready at all times. Rabbi Akiva, Otzer Bolum. There are alternative girsos to the word Bolum, but for our purposes, the word Bolum has to do with something that's closed up. But in the analogy, you'll see, when by going through the Rashi, you'll see that he was a storehouse of knowledge. Everything, every aspect of knowledge was compartmentalized. Bolum means that if you took an area that's enclosed by, say, a large frame, and then you start to section it off into compartments. So each compartment is separated, closed off from the next. So the Rashi elaborates on this Oitzer Bolam, Kach Mefurish Ba'ovas Rabbi Nosson. We refer to that same source of learning that we mentioned before, the Ovas Rabbi Nosson. L'mahoy Rabbi Kiva Deima, what was he comparable to? L'onishe Notal Kuposo, to a poor man that took his box, his sack, in order to collect food. V'yotza L'soda, and he went out to the fields. Motza Serim Kotzer V'Nosson, boy, if he finds some barley grains growing, he cuts them, puts them in his sack. Motzo chitim, nosan bo, if he finds wheat, puts them in. V'chein pulim, v'chein adoshim, all different kinds of vegetation. Whatever he finds, puts them in his box or in his sack. Ukshibola beso, and then when he gets home, now after all, once they're all put together in the sack, so they're all mixed up. So when he gets home, biru komin umin latzmo, the oni would then separate each one by itself. Kach Rabbi Kiva kashaloman merabosov, so too Rabbi Kiva when he studied, Shoma Dvar Mikro, Merabosov, Vachrov Halocha, Vachrov Medrash, Vachrov Hagodo, Nosan Libo, Lavsur Aleim, Lagorsan. Ad Shusturim Befiv. Rashi uses the term afterwards, from what Rashi says later on. We have a dashed underline reference in Rashi. You'll see the sixth wide line where the Gemara is comparing someone else, one of the other Tanoim, in fact Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, to Rabbi Kiva, and Rashi there says Shevavze Ein Shevavze Doim Elishor Rabbi Kiva Shenosan Libo Tchila V'Loman Hakol Mevulbal V'Achar Kaf Sidran. So you see from Rashi later on, Rabbi Akiva is described as when learning things initially, he learned things all Mevulbal, would mean jumbled up all together. So that Rashi here, when he says he would learn Dvar Mikro and then afterwards Halacha, it seems like whenever he would learn something, and then after he learned that, he would then learn some other area, and after that another area, but not in any consistent order per se. So after he absorbed all of the information, he then concentrated and he learned the information and went over it many times, that whatever he learned, until it was fluent. And then let's continue in the Rashi. We on the first wide line in the middle, Lugorsinachu Strum of Fifa Loamar, he did not say Elmod Mikroli Atzmo, first I'm gonna learn only scriptures by themselves. Medrash Liatzmo. Avo Kishinase Chocham Godol, after he had learned all these different areas in a seemingly jumbled fashion, in a non-compartmentalized fashion, when it was all fluent, whatever he had learned, it became fluent to him, and he became a wise man. He then took all his Torah learning and separated it into different sections. See there, Medrash Sifri v'Sifro Levadon. He took the midrashic information that's relevant to the Sifri covers the Sforum of Bamidbar and Vorim. The Sifro covers Sefer Vayikra, and he taught that. He separated that Vishonon Latzmon LaTalmidov, and he taught them by themselves. Halachas Latzmon. Halachas might consist of Mishnayos or oral traditions by themselves. Vagados Latzmon. Now, the way he taught his students was not parallel to the way he himself studied. Venir Vienai, Otsur Bolam, Sogur, Masgeris, Levadan, Mechitzas, Mechitzas. The term Bolam is explained by Rashi by a reference to different, literally, walls, different compartments. Kemoshos, Betevis, Gdolis, Litenchita, Mikan, Sor, Mikan, Adosh, Mikan, like one will find in large boxes where there are compartments within them. The wheat in one compartment, the barley in another, the lentils in another. Kamo, piv, bolum, raglov, mvlos, bevachoros. You find the word bolum found in Maseches Bechoros as well. Let's go back to our text in the Gemara. The next scholar is Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Kupos Horochlin. And following Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, you have Rabbi Lozer ben Azaria, Kupa Shel Besomim. You have two kinds of kupa. Kupa are boxes that actually have compartments in them. Rashi says, kupa so roichlim, before shosam ma roichel ze. Roichel ze, merchant. He comes to town. Sholim imenu afar simon. He's a merchant that sells women's cosmetics, perfumes. People come and ask him, do you have Afar Simon? So Omer Hin, yes. Plyton, they ask, another perfume. Imocha, do you have Plyton? Omer Hin, yes. Kinmon Imoch, Omer Hin, Kach Nitzrochadim Lishol Dover B'mikro Meshivo. So too, when it came to people asking Rabbi Yochanan questions in the written Torah, he would answer. V'chein b'gemara, v'chein b'medrash, v'chein b'agoda. In each area of learning, people would ask, he would have an answer. V'ein shevach z'doim l'shor b'kiva, shenosin libo t'chilo v'lomad hakol mevulbal v'achakav sidron. This is not similar to Rabbi Akiva in so far as Rabbi Akiva initially learned everything together and then set them and compartmentalized them. If we are understanding Rashi in terms of their initial styles of learning, so then it would appear that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri did not learn initially the same way that Rabbi Akiva, but already learned in a compartmentalized fashion. Which, by the way, is interesting insofar as that is the way Rabbi Akiva himself taught his students. The next Rashi, Kupas Shel Besomim, Besomim are spices. Doime leKupas HaRochlin, it's similar. Shorochel mitoch sheu mo noisoi lekach marbe minim yoiser. The Rochel has more, it's a variety of items. V'koshi kolechot b'tzror levadu lios mezumen l'shoalo. And each item is tied up in a separate binding to be ready to be given over. And in this case, to be ready to respond to people that answer him. The next description we see is Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kav v'Noki. The teachings of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are kav is a measure. It's a small measure. Noki means and pure. Rashi says lo limed harbe kishar chaverov. He didn't teach as much as his colleagues. And lo ma sheoi merveis hamedrash noki shalach leomoysil olam. What he teaches over when he says something, the halacha will follow his teaching. Insofar as he has purged it of any dross. Clean without any residue, his teachings are thusly considered pure and therefore to be relied upon all the time. And the next is the scholar that we mentioned before, Rabbi Yossi Nimuko Imo. Rabbi Shimon Tochein Harbi Motzi Kimo. Rabbi Shimon is really Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi. He Tochein literally grinds a lot, means he studied a lot. He had accumulated a vast amount of knowledge, and Motzi Kimo. The Gemara goes on, Tana, this is an explanation of that. Mishkach Kimo, Umashe Motzi Eino Motzi Elo Subin. Mishkach Kimo means he would forget a little bit, so that Motzi Kimo means he would forget very little, but that which he forgot was considered Subin. Subin is the waste, the bran part of a wheat kernel, which is removed and discarded. So that what he did forget was information that he didn't feel was significant at the outset. So he didn't apply himself to remembering that. V'chein Omar Rav Shimon Letalmidov, Bonai, Shonu Midoisai, he says to his students, study my approach to things, my ways, Shemidoisai, Trumos, Midoisav Shel Rabbi Akiva. My ways are like tithes removed from the tithes of Rabbi Akiva. In other words, Rabbi Akiva already had cleansed, had discarded, we'll call that which is superfluous, and Rabbi Shimon did so even more on the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai felt that his teachings are to be relied upon and very pure, as we just described. Gufa. Again, this is a quote from that which we saw in our previous shiur. Omar Lishnayim, a husband says to two people, Imru l'soifer v'yichtov l'uploni uploni v'yachtamu. Tell a scribe to write up the body of a get, and tell so-and-so and so-and-so to be the signatories. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, kosher velo sasezos b'Yisrael. Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, says that that's okay, it's kosher, if the husband sends an agent to put this request in on behalf of the husband to a scribe and to two witnesses, the get that's prepared is kosher, but it shouldn't be done. Amar le Ula l'Rav Nachman, v'yamri l'another version of names, Rav Nachman l'Ula, that was the other direction, me'achar de kosher, but once you rule that such a get prepared under those circumstances is kosher, amai lo sases zos b'Yisrael, why should you not do it? Amar le, he answers, chayshinon shema tiskor edim. The word tiskor, note the gender, it's in the feminine. We're choshesh, we're suspicious that maybe she, the woman, will hire witnesses and say in the name of her husband to a scribe to write up the get and to witnesses to sign it when the husband never had any such intention. So that she's arranging for her own get to be written and present herself as a divorced woman. The Gemara asks, "Umi chayshinan? Do we really worry about things like that?" V'hotanya, we have the following source that says, "Eidim achsumim al stemekech v'al get isha," witnesses that are seen on a document of sale of a title of deed to property, or on a divorce document. Lo choshu chachomim l'dover zeh. The chachomim are not suspicious that they lied. The Gemara answers, Maise lo avdi, right? Witnesses would not sign a lie. However, dibura ko amri. Now, in order to appreciate this, we look and in the Rashi. Maise lo avdi, second line from the bottom, shiachtamu sheker o yeidu sheker. We're not suspicious that witnesses will sign an outright lie or testify falsely. However, dibura avdi, what do we suspect? Oimer la'achirim la'asos, person, an agent, someone will ask someone else to do something, and they'll say in the name of some man, like our case, the woman here is saying in the name of her husband that he's ordering you to write a get and you to sign. La'achirim swim shabal tzivan, those listeners, those will say innocent-minded listeners, think that the Baal really puts such a request in. So that is something that we do have to take into consideration. The Gemara continues, Omar l'shnayim, imru l'soifer v'yuchtoiv atem chasomu. Man says to two people, I want you two to go to a scribe and ask him to write up a get, and I want you two, to sign the document. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature this statement, and we have a geometric form, a trapezoid, that appears in alternating directions. With the narrow part facing up, it's highlighting the opinions that say, kosher velos, that's it, it's acceptable, but it shouldn't be done. And the inverted one says, not only is it kosher, but it's also to be done. We continue now in the Gemara, noting, by the way, that as we did in our previous year, that this case is different than the case before, where he had spoken to an agent. He spoke to two people, and they were to ask two others to sign. Here, he's speaking to two people and telling them to sign. Rav Chisda Omar kosher v'lo saseh. Rabbo Bar Barachan Omar kosher v'saseh. Rav Nachman Omar kosher v'lo saseh. Rav Sheshes Omar kosher v'taseh. Rabbo Omar kosher v'lo saseh. Rav Yosef Omar kosher v'taseh. And the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. V'iko de'apich l'hu. There are those that switch around the names of Rabbo and Rav Yosef. And as we indicated before, these two opinions, one saying that you can do it directly, it's kosher, and you can do it straight out, and the others are saying not to do that. Let's take a look at the Rashi at the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Va'atem Chasomu, the case where the husband said, I want you fellows to sign it. Deleko Lamecha Shemo Tiskor. Here you don't have to consider the possibility of the hiring of witnesses. Kevon Di'ein Chosmin Elim Kein Shomu Mipi Habal Atzmo. Since according to this approach, they're signing only because they heard from the husband directly. So this is a situation which is more likely to be acceptable. However, we saw opinions that say it shouldn't be done. Because if we allow this, we'll come to allow the case before of two people being asked by the husband to request a sofer and to request other witnesses to sign. And if we accept that, we're then suggesting that the witnesses that actually signed did not have to hear directly from the husband. And that opens up the door to the case of the woman hiring people to sign, claiming that her husband had asked for a get to be prepared. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Omar Lasora Kisvu Get Tona Rabbanan. Omar Lasora, a man said to 10 people. Notice we have this source broken down into Roman numerals 1 and 2 a few lines later, and in under each Roman numeral a further breakdown. So he's standing in the presence of 10 people, and the husband says, Kisvu Get Utnu Ishti. Write up a get and give it to my wife. Echad koisev al yedei kulam. It's sufficient for one to write on behalf of all of them. They don't all have to be there when the get is being written. Kulchem ksovu. If, however, when he's standing in the presence of ten, he says, I want all of you, he adds the word kulchem ksovu, then echad koisev v'mamad kulam. One will write the get in the presence of all the others. It's not as if they're all 10 people are holding on to the quill at once, but they all have to be present when the get is being written. Halichu get li'ishti. He's in the presence of 10 people, and he says, bring the get to my wife. Echad molich al yadei kulam. One can bring the get for the rest, meaning he represents all of them. Kulchem halichu. If the husband's instructions are, all of you, I want you to convey the get to her, echad moilich b'mamad kulam. One physically carries the get, but walking together with the all of the others at the same time. In other words, they all to accompany him to the wife. Ibayalo mono oi son mahu. He, instead of saying kulchem, he starts naming the people. He says, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, etc. Bring the get to my wife, or write the get for my wife. What do we expect? Rav Huna Amar, Mona, Eino, Kekulchem. Counting out the people is not the same thing as Kulchem. So if that be the case, then they don't all have to be present when the get is being written. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Lozer Demin Roma Omar, Rabbi Yochanan quotes with Rabbi Lozer, who says, Mono Harehu Kekulchem. Counting them out, enumerating the people, is like Kulchem. Omar of Papa Velo Pligi. In fact, there's no machlokus between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. Ha de Mono Kulhu, Vaha de Mono Mixasayu. It depends. If he counted. He counted all of the people assembled, then one thing applies. Or if he counted part of the people that were assembled, makes a sale, some of them, then another approach will apply. Which approach applies to which type of counting? Amri law lahai gisa vi amri law lahai gisa. Some say this way and some say that way. In order to appreciate this, we look at the Rashi. We start from the top line. Mono mahu im lo omar kulchem. He didn't use the word kulchem. Avol mono echod shnayim shalosh arbeis. He cited the names Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. Zoom down the line. V'omar kisfu get lishti. After citing their names, he says, write a get mahu. V'daminu kulu hanach muyu nichvin. Odilma kevin de lo omar lem kulchem amnim kisfu lo boinon kulam. Do we say, since he enumerated them, he intends for all of them to be there? Or, since he didn't say, I want all of you to do it, so he didn't intend all of them to be there. Amri lo lahaygisa, and Rashi will explain then a few lines later, Amri lo lahaygisa. So Rashi continues, Amri lo lahaygisa, mona kulhu akulu kapid. If he counted out all the names of the people that were assembled there, his intention is all of them should be present for the writing of the get. Mono mixasayu lo kopid elo amenuyim hashnayim mehanim nuyim chasmu lemute hashar shelo nimnu osa v'lo lechol hanim nuyim ichven shiachtemu kulam. If he counted only part of the people there, his intention was that only two of the ones that he counted should sign on the get. Not even all of those that he counted. So you ask them, why did he count part of them? Because through counting part of them, he was coming to exclude the others that he didn't mention by name, that they shouldn't participate at all. But even those that he counted, the few that he did count, the partial amount that he counted, his intention was two of them should sign on the get. Kevon de lo mono lekulhu huvro shetercha davar lov v'chodolo midaita rishona. Since he didn't count them all, he didn't enumerate all of the people there, it seems that he reversed any original intention he had to include all of them. V'afil hamnuyim einam tzrichim lachdom elo mitzosan. Even those that he did count, not all of them are expected to sign on, just some of them, just two of them. Rashi continues, v'amri lo lahaygisa mono mitzosan. If he counted part of them, goli daite dahani kopid, v'tzrichin kulan amin lachdom. He's revealing to us that those that he counted, he wants all of them to be present. He wants all of them to be present, all of them to sign on. Mono kulon, kevon de lo amar kulchem. He enumerated all of them, but he didn't use the word kulchem. Lo kopid, elo lomar, b'fnei minyan zeh v'lo shiachtemu kulam. When he enumerated all of them and without saying kulchem, he's only all his intention is that he addressed all of them, but not that all of them are expected to sign on. Let's turn back to the Gemara text. Askin Rav Yehuda. We also have some markings that maybe we'll take a look at the side. We have our Nosei / Mivne heading. A double underline will be used here to highlight, you'll see Rav Yehuda, and then later Rava. These are Shnei Deos al Tikkun Aloshen Begitin Shetziv Aleim B'maimed Rabim, on how one should address a group of people when instructing a get to be prepared. So we continue now in the Gemara. Askin, Askin Rebuta established Begita de Kulchem regarding a get where the husband is speaking in front of a group of people. Ksovu, O Kulchon, O Kol Chad V'Chad Minchon. That the husband should say, that which we just said, write it, either all of you or each one of you. Chasomu, sign. O kulchon, o kol trei minchon. All of you or any two of you. Ovilu is to convey, to transport. Ovilu, o kulchon, o kol chad v'chad minchon. Either all of you or any one of you. Omar Rava, zimnin de goyiz leila dibure. If you expect the husband to say all of that, meaning either all of you or each one of you. Sometimes goyiz means to cut, to shorten, to abbreviate, to cut off. Zimin de goyiz leibre, he might abbreviate his request, his speech. V'yomar kulchon. He'll just say, all of you. V'lo'omar kolchad binchon. And he won't say, he won't add that in each one of you. V'osi lifsui, and that will result in a get that's puzzle. How will that result in the get that's puzzle? If he says just kulchon and doesn't leave open, he doesn't mention the option of any one of you. So if you have 9 of the 10 people that are going to be present for the conveyance of the get, or 9 of the 10 people signing on, it won't be kosher. Ela omar rovo, ksovu. This is what he should say. Ksovu kolchad minchon, without using the term kulchem. Chasomu koltre minchon. Write the get, any one of you. Sign, any two of you. Ovilu kol chad minchon. Convey the get, any one of you. Rashi explains this, the last couple of lines. Let's go over it together in the Rashi. Askin review to begita de kulchem. Beget shodem oimer b'mayim mit rabim. Regarding a get that one requests while present in amongst a large group of people, v'yesh lochu shema yoyma lekulchem ichvin, and there's room to think that he might say lekulchem v'lo yachtemu kulam. If he says kulchem, I want all of you to, let's say, sign, and they don't all sign, v'nimtza get botel, and the result of that would be that the get is not kosher. If he says one thing and they don't follow those instructions, so it's not a get in accordance with the husband's wish. Therefore, hiskin shu kaisvin bo. Therefore, he established that they should write in the get the following, let's say, the following expression. Kach omar lonu ploni. Thusly, so and so said to us. So and so is a reference to the husband. Thusly, he said to us, kisvu, o kulchon, o kol chad minchon. Kulchon echod kose b'mamad kulam. Kulchon would imply that one writes while all the others are present. Oi kol chad minchon afilu ein chaver avimo, or one writes even if the others are not there. Rashi continues, ovilu means holichu, convey it. So the Rabbi Yehuda's original takona was that this information would be recorded, namely both options, either all or any one of you. However, Rava said if you're going to expect all of that to be recorded, they might end up cutting it off and just writing kulchem. The Yosel of Suli, Rashi continues, Shema lo ye echad mehem b'mayma ksivoso. Maybe one of them won't be present. Oh, lo yachtamu kulam, or maybe they won't all sign. And as we said, if all that's recorded is that the husband said, I want all of you to do it, and one is left out, one doesn't do it, so the get will be puzzle. So in order to avoid that, Rava says, just leave out the expression kulchem, and thereby save yourself from that disqualifier. And with the assistance of the Almighty, we have just finished the sixth perek, and now move on to the seventh perek of Gittin. The first few dapim of this perek, til daf ayin, contains a lot of, we'll say, material information that is either related to agadic material, story type material, or, and you will see a lot of remedies and suggestions for good health, how to maintain good health, what to do when suffering from different ailments. There is a source in Maseches Moikom, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Tosfos there, Dibur Masel Kavra points out that the refuos of the Shas, medicinal recommendations, medical procedures that you find in the Talmud are not to be practiced nowadays. There's a concept of nishtanu hatvoyim, surround environmental circumstances, natural circumstances, physiological changes take place, rendering that which was once recommended to now be avoided. One might ask, well, if it's all of a temporary nature, then why was it included in the Talmud to begin with? Well, there might be several different approaches to that. First and foremost is that the Talmud was prepared in addition to other things is also a current work. People at the time it was written were to study it, and it was appealing to them. Of course, not to think for one second that anything that's of a halachic nature is subject to change. That is perish that thought. But dealing with statements dealing with nature, medicine, and the like, the Torah, the Talmud was addressing the people of the time as things were perceived and as things were practiced. Another approach might very well be that though the Talmud is presenting these topics as medicinal, there might very well be a lot of hints and secrets that are interwoven in the Talmudic text. And for those who are privileged to study the secrets of the Torah, the Sisrei Torah, they'll see the Gemaras here as a source for that information. As far as we are concerned in Gemara markings, I'm sure those who are veterans of our Shiurim know that we're going to present the matter on a superficial basis, trying to emphasize the Gemara structure, but not delving into anything beyond that. Rashi will, as he presents it, gives a number of French terms, translating them into French. In Gemara markings, I'm sure many of you know, we are not we're not compelled to translate terms dealing with plants and animals, as long as it doesn't affect the understanding of the Gemara structure. We will carry on using the terms of the Gemara itself. From time to time, we will offer translations as we see it in Rashi. The topic heading that we see on the side before we start the text, we have a no say that you see in the margin, Hatzorach litzlilu sedas abal kidei lahoros al ksivas haget, the necessity of the husband being of clear thought when he issues his instructions for a get to be written. If there's evidence that he is not of sound mind, so if he instructs for a get to be written, it cannot be written. The Gemara. Mi she'ochsoi kudyakus v'yomar kisvu get li'ishti lo'omar klum. He who has been possessed by kudyakus. Rashi says, shame shida ha'shiletis k'shesi an harbi migiso. This is the name of a demon that possesses people who drink a lot of wine directly from the wine press. So someone who is possessed by this demonic force and says, V'yomar kisvu get li'ishti lo'omar klum, his instructions for a get to be written are meaningless. Omar, a man of sound mind, says, kisvu get li'ishti. Then afterwards, V'yosu kudyakas, V'chozer v'yomar al lo tichtevenu, in his state of, in his crazed state, in his delirious state, he says, don't write it. Ein dvor v'achronim klum. His latter instruction is nothing. In other words, the get will be written and given to his wife. Nishtatek. A person became a mute. He lost his power of speech. And Rashi points out that this is not going on the case of Ochsosa Kudyakus, but rather a person, a regular person, who all of a sudden lost his power of thought. The Omru lo, and they asked him, Nichtov get lishtocha, would you like a get to be written for your wife? The Hirkin Barosho, and he moved his head, he nodded. Boitken oisei shloshe pomim, we go through a test three times. Im Omar al lav lav al hein hein. Omar, of course, doesn't mean he said, but he made the head gesture that reflects either acceptance and or rejection. he was asked questions that would require a positive answer, and he would nod his head indicating acceptance, and he would be asked three questions requiring a negative response, and he would nod his head in the negative response fashion. Since once he, if he does that three times for each one of these responses, the negative and positive, then we see he's of sound mind. Harelu yichtavu yitnu. Then, when after going through that test, we can ask him, would you want a get to be written? And if he indicates with a head motion a positive response, so then we will go ahead and write the get. The Gemara. Before reading the Gemara, you notice we have a topic heading, the Nosei, My Kurdiakus Umao Trufasa. What is Kurdiakus and what is its remedy? I would like to point out that this Gemara, as we mentioned, is a very long discussion about different remedies and health concerns, will have a Halacha Lamaisa application, as we will see once we get to the Gemara Daf Ayin Omid Beis. It's a long way off, but the very point that it has a remedy, and we know what its remedy is, will have a certain legal ramification, which will be seen on Daf Ayin Omid Beis. It's quite a long way off, though, from here. The Gemara then asks, "My Kurdiakus, what is that?" Omar Shmuel, Denakse Chamro Chadato Dematzarto. Rashi, Nakse, the word Nakse literally means Noshchoi, bit him. Klomar Sheshosu Imenu V'hugish Bo. It had an effect on him. He drank a lot of wine, Chamro is wine, Chata, new wine, from Dematzarto, from the press. Rashi on the Mishnah mentioned, as a result of doing that, a certain demon then takes effect, takes over. The Gemara asks, "V'lisni, why doesn't the Mishnah simply say Misha Noshchoi Yayin Chodosh? Why does the Mishnah present this as Misha Ochsu Kurdiakus?" The Gemara answers, "Ha Komashmon, what the Mishnah reveals to us is the Ha Rucha Kurdiakus Shma, the spirit, this demonic force that takes hold of someone that drinks the wine from the press, its name is Kurdiakus. Lamai Nafgamina. Of what importance is it for us to know its name?" Answer, Likmea, for the preparation of a Kmea. Rashi says, Likmea, Shemashbien Ba Es Haruach Bishmo. Kmea is an amulet, and the amulet represents some, it's an entity through which we subject the spirit to an oath, which would then relieve the individual that he possessed. My Asute, what is a remedy for someone who has consumed the wine and is under its influence? What's interesting here is that we seem to have two forces at once. We have this spiritual force, this demonic force, and a physiological phenomenon happening at the same time, so that as far as the there was, even with the, we'll say, the demonic spiritual force aside, there seems to be a physiological issue as well, and that's what the Gemara continues with the remedy for that. There probably is more to say on the topic, but that's beyond the scope of our knowledge. The Gemara, in response to the question, what is the remedy? Bisra sunko agomri, it's lean meat prepared on coals, v'chamra marka, and very diluted wine. Omar Abaye, omro li aim. Abaye tells us that his aim, the woman that raised him, his own mother, had died in childbirth, but the aim is the woman that raised him. She said, And we have a marking here. This is a triangle. And on the side, we have a mivne, a structural note. And take careful note of this. It goes until Ayin Amud Aleph. So that we're going to see this, the triangle used over quite a few dapim of Gemara. And it's here in order for you to scan ahead the upcoming pages and immediately spot the names Hadgosh Shemesh Shemachlis. Every time the triangle appears, we're highlighting the name of another ailment. It could very well be that we might have featured Kurdiakus as well in this triangle scheme. But in this edition of the Gemara, right now we don't have that. There's another point we have as far as the Mivne is concerned. There's a squiggle underline that appears along the way after the triangles. If you scan ahead on the page, you'll notice the squiggle lining appearing. These are Trufos Chilufios Beheder Efsharus Lerapis Bekoidmo. In the event that the initial remedy is unavailable, so alternative remedies are suggested from time to time. We introduce the alternatives with the squiggle underline. You'll notice in the margin, when we make reference to the margin, we have two margins, so try to find our reference. We have a nosei klali, a general topic heading, and we've written trufos. These are remedies, as we've already mentioned. Ha'ora, I want to point out something. Achare shnei maisim arukim shemaschilim b'soif omud, hagmor tamshich b'soif taf samaches omibbeiz ad reish ayin omibbeiz binyone trufos ubrios. What we're noting, it's a structural concern, and that is after two incidents, two long stories that you see begin here at the bottom of this omid, the lower part of this omid, we have something called Maisa Shel Im Rav Sheshes. If you're looking at your Gemara text, you might notice that we have to the left-hand side of the text a long marking called Maisa Im Rav Sheshes. And then on Daf Samach Ches Omid Aleph, another long Maisa with Shlomo HaMelech with the shade. And this is a very, very long stories, we'll say. They take you down to the Samach Chesum Beis where the triangles will reappear, and that will continue till the top part of Ayin Omid Beis, matters concerning remedies and health. You'll notice as we turn back to the Gemara, we try to find the triangle where we can pick up our textual reading. Abaye's aim told him, L'shimsha. Rashi says, L'shimsha bas yoma cholish ofsu machmas chom bo bayom. Type of ailment that's the result of heat, so overexposure to heat on that day. So L'shimsha, you notice we have a colon after the word L'shimsha because there are different types of L'shimsha or Shimsha characteristics. The first is Bas Yuma, and then later on the line you see a Beis, Bas Treyomi, then there's Bas Tlosayomi, etc. So L'shimsha Bas Yuma, Kuza Demaya. If a person is afflicted by some type of heat attack, it is recommended that he Kuza Demaya drink a cup of water. Bas Treyomi, if he's possessed by this 2 days, Sikuri, then he should bloodlet. And Bas Tlosa Yomi, for 3 days, then Bistra Sumka Agomri the Chamra Marka. He should consume lean meat prepared on coals and highly diluted wine. L'shimsha Atikta, if he's suffering for this for over many days, Lasi Tarnagolta Uchmasi, he should bring a black chicken, the lik ra shtiv orev, and rip it open crisscross, the legalche lemitz osa de reshe, and shave the middle of the ailing person's head, the loisve iluya, and place the chicken on the chicken as we described on that part of his head, the ninche iluya ad de misrich, and leave it there until it sticks. Velinchus Veleku B'maya, he should then go descend into water, Ad Savore, until his neck, Ad Decholish Alma, until he feels faint, Ad Decholish Alma Iluya, until faintness overcomes him, Velimud Velislik Velesiv. Velimud is to swim a bit, float, or Yashut is to float a bit, and then exit, and then sit down. The Elo, and you see the squiggle underline, and meaning if that's not available, and yet he's suffering from this shimsha of Atikta for many days. Lechul Karsi, he should eat Karsi vegetation. Velinchus Velekum Bemayat Savri Adacholash Amli Luya Velimud Velislik Velasiv, descend into water until his neck, as we described just before. Lishimsha, if someone is suffering from Shimsha, this once again is an ailment that comes from heat. So Bisra Sumka Agomri Vechamro Marka. We saw this in the context of Shimsha Bas Tlosa Yomi. So we can maybe assume that the comment here is a reference to that, because you see it's the same remedy, the lean meat prepared on coals and highly diluted wine. The talga is ailment that comes as a result of exposure to the cold. Bisra shmena, fatty meat, agomri, prepared on coals, v'chamra chaya, and undiluted wine. We have a bracketed section. We have a note, a starred note on the side. Teichen ha-sagraim kosher yeshiros l'kor. The material in the brackets is actually related directly to the issue of cold. Avol rotzinu litzur retzef l'darki tipul l'talgo sheim amshich machre sagraim. However, our intention is to feature other remedies or ways of dealing with the cold. That's what you see after the bracketed section. Therefore, the story involving Rav Amram Chasida we placed within the bracket, so that the last point we read was someone suffering from talga, from cold. There was a remedy given. Skipping the brackets momentarily, Rav Yosef Yasik Berechayim. Rav Yosef, if he found himself overcome by cold, he would operate a grindstone that required physical exertion, and that would heat him up. Rav Sheshes Yasik Bikshuri. Rav Sheshes would involve himself with beams. Could be that he would be carrying around beams, also an exertion. Omar, and he would say, Gedolu Melacha Shemelchemes Es Baila. Praiseworthy is work, is exertion that heats up the one that exerts himself. We have a little starred note that indicates that at the bottom of Samach Chesomet Beis, the Gemara will resume its discussion regarding remedies. And we have a bracketed section with a story involving Rav Amram Chasida that you'll see is related to the cold. There's another marking that you're going to see. We have a bow tie highlighting the word Reish Galusa, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, the bow tie features Reish Galusa, Simun Zem, Yuad, Litzor Kesher, Ben Shnei HaMaisim. We're trying to establish a type of connection between these two stories. Shebishneim, Royim Da'avdei Bei Reish Galusa, Lohav Umali. In both stories, we'll see a reference to the servants in the house of the exilarch. The Reish Galusa was the secular head of the Jewish community, as its name applies, Galusa in the exile. There was it seems there's a certain amount of autonomy that Jews had in the exile, and the head of the Jewish community was called the Reish Galusa. Throughout the Shas, you find, however, that the people that worked in that home, in that office, were less than desirable. That's what we mean by the term lo mali. They were not good. Now the Gemara. Rav Amram Chasida, ki havu mitzarin le bei reish galusa, havu magnu le atilga. When the workers in the house of the reish galusa wanted to oppress Rav Amram Chasida. Now, the reason for their wanting to oppress him wasn't just out of thin air, but he, as his name implies, Chassid, means he was an extremely pious individual, and he issued rulings that were too stringent for them to observe. And their reaction to his rulings, his stringencies, were to take him and lay him down on the in the snow. Atilga is like the word in Hebrew, sheleg, shin, lamed gimel. The shin and the tuf, teleg, can interchange, so you get the word for snow in Aramaic. So they would expose him to let's say, to the cold, to the frost. Lamachar, the next day, Omrulay, my nicholay lamar delesile, what would you like us to bring you? In other words, oh, it seems like you're not feeling too good. What would you like us to bring? Omar, Rav Amram then figured to himself, these guys are lowlifes. He says, Hani, kol damina lahu, meibav afhi. Whatever I tell them, they'll switch around. So, Omar lahu, I'm going to tell them something that when they switch it around will actually be beneficial to me. So they're asking me, what do you want us to bring you? Omar lahu, he told them, now he speaks to them. He says, Bisra sumka agomri v'chomra marka. Bring me some lean meat prepared on coals and highly diluted wine. Oh, so they hear that he wants lean meat. Well, they brought for him fatty meat prepared on coals and undiluted wine, which is in fact the remedy for tilga that we saw in the triangle at the end of the line, a few lines up from here, and that's what he really needed. Shama Yalta. Yalta was the wife of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Nasi. She was the daughter of the Nasi. The Nasi was called the religious leader of the Jewish people. And Yalta was well-connected. She was a powerful woman. And she heard of Rav Amram Chasida's suffering. Umayla le lebe masuta. She brought him into a bathhouse, into a sauna, umukmi le bimaya deve asuta, and she arranged for him to be in the water, the hot water of the bathhouse, ad damahapchi maya deve amasuta vavudoma, until the waters of that bathhouse turned to a blood-like color. This was a result of the sweat coming from his body that was red in color. Because of the fatty meat and the undiluted wine that he consumed, v'koi bisrei pshiti pshiti, and his flesh then had the appearance of round bright spots. Rav Yosef, when suffering from tilga, the asik berechaya, he worked a grindstone. Rav Sheshes Yasek Bikshuri, Rav Sheshes dealt with beams, heavy beams. Omar Gedolim Lochash Mechames Hezbala, praiseworthy is exertion, is work that heats the one occupied with it. On the side, we have a topic heading, which reads, Maisa Im Rav Sheshes Ubei Reish Galusa, a story involving Rav Sheshes and the household of the Reish Galusa, V'nisyon Shalem L'Achshil, Litna Keshbo, and their attempt to injure him, to rid the world of Rav Sheshes. It's important to note that Rav Sheshes was a blind individual. Now the Gemara. Omar, and we did note before, and we can note again, the length of this Maisa. You notice it takes you down about a third of the way down, Sama Chesamanaf. And by the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Ni Gemara. Omar le Reish Gelusa le Rav Sheshes. My time alo sod mor Gabon. The exilarch asks Rav Sheshes, why is it that you don't come and have meals with us? You don't eat with us? Omar le delo malu avdi de chashiri evim nechai. He says, listen, the servants in your household are no good. They're suspect of ripping off limbs of living animals. Avram and Achai, the limb from a living animal. That, of course, is prohibited not only to the Jews, it's prohibited even to mankind. That is, that even though Gentiles don't have the laws of ritual slaughter of shechita, nevertheless, they are not allowed to take limbs of animals before the animal is totally dead. So even if they have different ways of slaughter, they cannot dismember the animal until it's totally dead. So Rav Sheshes tells the Reish Galusa, your servants are suspect of violating the laws of Avraham and Achai. Amar lei mi yemar. Reish Galusa says to Rav Sheshes, well, who says? Amar lei, Rav Sheshes says, hashto machvin olach. I'll show you right now. Amar lei l'shamei, Rav Sheshes says to his servant, his personal servant, zil genov aisi li chadakar michyusa. Go into the kitchen where they're preparing the meal, and you'll see the limbs of animals, of meat there lined up. Go steal one leg of an animal. An animal has four legs. Go steal one of them. Aisile. So the shamish, the servant of Rav Sheshes, in fact, did that. Omar lahu, ahadmu li hidmi dechiusa. He then says, would you set out the limbs of the animal. Aisu tlos kari osivu kame. They brought three legs and set them out on the table. Omar lahu, Rav Sheshes says, ha, bala sholosh raglayim, avoy, what, you have a three-legged animal? That's an oddity. Pasuk, aisu chalo me'amo osivu kame. Well, they went, ripped off the leg of another animal and brought it, claiming, oh, here it is, here's the fourth leg. Take the leg that you have and put it there as well on the table. And he put it there. Omar lahu. So then Rav Sheshes says, hi, bas chomesh raglayim, avoy, what, you have a five-legged animal? Omar lei ihochi. So what you can see is, of course, that Rav Sheshes demonstrated that they are quite capable of violating Avraham and Achai. So the exilarch says, "Ihochi, if that be the case, then levdu kamei demor velechol. Let the food be prepared in front of you or in front of your servant. Let all the preparations be done in front of you, and then you'll eat." Amar lei lechayei. So Rav Sheshes says, "Okay." Karivu tako kamayu. They brought a table to them. The aisu kamei bisra, and they brought him some meat. V'yosivu kamei ristino dechanko chamsa. And they placed a portion of meat that has in it a very small bone that is it's dangerous in the sense that if people eat this meat in an unsuspecting fashion, they'll end up choking on it. This, by the way, it's literally a ristino, a portion of meat, the chanko chamsa, that strangles mothers-in-law. That's the literal translation. You can well imagine a woman that wants to get rid of her mother-in-law, so she would serve her this cut of meat, and that would do the job. That's the literal translation of it. But as we said, it's a cut of meat that comes from the thigh of the animal. And Rav Sheshes, he was blind, so they thought that they could get rid of him this way. However, not so fast. Gashashe v'shaklo karcha b'sudre. He felt it, and he felt that bone was there, and he took the whole piece and wrapped it in cloth. Lebosar d'achol, after they ate, Amri lei, he was told, they told him, we continue at the top of the Samaches, Igniv lon kosa de kaspa. A silver cup has been stolen from the Reish Galusa. And Rashi points out, they saw him wrap up that piece of meat, and they wanted an excuse to check him out, to reveal that he wasn't eating what they prepared. So they said, this story that a cup was stolen and we need to check everyone out. As they were investigating, looking into it, checking him out, they found the piece of meat wrapped in the cloth, the piece of meat that had the dangerous bone in it that they served him. Omru le, they then exclaimed, Chazi mor delo mechel koboi elo litzuran. Behold, you're not interested in eating with us. You're just interested in oppressing us and in bothering us. Amalahu, Rav Sheshes says back, Ano mechel achli. I was prepared to eat. I was eating. However, v'tami bei taimo dechivra. I tasted in the meat that it had boils. Shchin. Amri lei, chivra lo avid lon hoidno. We didn't prepare any meat that had boils on it. Amalahu, bodku beduchte. Check beduchta. Rashi on the fourth line from the top says, beduchta be'or. Check out the skin. Be'or hoyu bodkin be'mokom ristinazu be'kaf hayerech v'timsenu be'or shu lavan. As far as meat afflicted with boils, what you have to do is you have to check the skin from the part of the animal that this portion was extracted. So that you have to go to the thigh of the animal, the kaf hayerech, and check the skin out over there, and you'll find that there's a white spot. The Gemara continues, the Omar Rav Chista, Uchma b'chivra, v'chivra b'uchmisa. Uchma is black on a black spot on that which is ordinarily white, or a white spot on that which is ordinarily black. Lakusahi, that's a sign of affliction, something, a problem. Boduk Ashkihua, they checked it out and actually they found that. Kikonofik, as Rav Sheshes was leaving, Korule Bira, they dug a pit, Vishadu Le Tzivsa Iluya, and they threw a mat over the pit. Viamri Le, Le Simor Lenach, and they said, maybe you would like to lie down. To lie down on the mat. Of course, if he lies down on the mat, he'll fall into the pit. Nochar le Rav Chista me'achar. Rav Chista was present, and he made some kind of snorting noise from behind him. Omar le Leonuka. Rav Sheshes said to a child that was there, Psok li psukecha. Would you recite the most recent verse that you learned, or recite a verse that comes to mind? Omar le, the child said, he quoted a pasuk in the book of Samuel, and saying, "Neteiloch al yemincha o al smolach, veer off either to your right or to your left." How appropriate. Omar le l'shamei, Michael Chazis. So Rav Sheshes says, Rav Sheshes, we said, who was blind, he says to his servant, "What do you see?" Sifisa de Shadisia, a mat that's cast on the ground. Omale Hodermina, let's veer away from it. Labosa de Nofik, and after they left, Omale Rav Chista Minohava Yodamar, Rav Chista asked Rav Sheshes, how did you know? Omale Chada de Nocharlimor, first of all, you snorted, you made some sound that already put me on notice. The Oda Possibly Yanuka Psuka, and secondly, the child made recited a verse that was quite a clear warning. V'yod chashidi avdi d'lo malu. And furthermore, the servants in the house of the Resh Glusa are suspect. They are lo malu. They are no good. And that's how I knew. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.